The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. Today's Inspiring Women is a mentoring show, and our very successful guests give you tips, tools, and strategies to better equip you for success. We have got an outstanding show for you today. Two high-level celebrities that you're not going to want to miss. This show is being sponsored by the UPS Store. From printing and mailbox solutions to packaging and shipping, the UPS Store is your helpful neighborhood small business resource center. Let me tell you about our first guest. Our first guest is Tammy Sousa, and Tammy is on Fox News, and she is a certified meteorologist. She's been honored with 15 Emmy nominations. Can you believe that? 15, not one or two, but 15. And she's been given 5 awards for best weathercast, best service report, live reporting. I mean, the list goes on and on. She's been given all kinds of awards from the National Association of Black Journalists and been recognized with the national nomination for a story about a fugitive slave ships in Lake Michigan. She's been honored with which only a few meteorologists have. She holds a prestigious AMS-CBM Certified Broadcasting Meteorology Award of Approval. She's been female chair of the National AMS Board of Meteorology. I mean, the list just goes on of all these awards that she received. Tammy, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Oh, Deanne, thank you. Thank you so much for having me be part of your show.
15 Emmy Award nominations. I mean, that is just unbelievable.
I guess people like weather. They like weather and they like science, which makes me so happy.
Well, they like you for sure. You're doing something right, which I want to get into in just a little bit. You know, tell us a little bit, because I understand your sister is also a meteorologist. I mean, tell us a little bit about your path. I mean, how did you get started into weather?
Well, you know what? I grew up in what I would call a science-type house. My dad actually was one of the designers for the space boosters on the Saturn program. Uh-huh. So we were always encouraged to follow our dreams and have science around us. And funny enough, I love the atmosphere. My sister started in, she actually started in journalism, and she loved the atmosphere. My brother is an airline pilot for FedEx, so we all ended up gravitating toward the atmosphere. I think my dad had something to do with that. And, you know, I started off on a path where we had family businesses, and so I helped run some of those out of college. And it took a little while for me to be able to get my step and actually focus on what I wanted to do, which was meteorology, broadcast meteorology. And so when I started that, I was actually at the same time going to school full-time to get a second degree and also to achieve my SEALs. And so it was basically, you know, sleep on the floor of an apartment, no furniture, everything was, you know, very sparse, but I loved mm-hmm. what I was doing. And I started in Northern California, and I was lucky enough to be offered a job in Milwaukee, so I moved to Milwaukee, which was a big leap up, and I then went to Chicago from Milwaukee, and most of my time I have spent in Chicago. I did spend a little bit of time in Tampa, where I was very blessed to be chosen as a chief meteorologist and run a department and rebuild a department there. But a lot of my time has been spent, you know, studying, learning my craft. I've always actually had men as mentors because there are so few women in our business that are at a level to be a chief. And so I've learned an awful lot from men, and then I've tried to keep sort of my feminine side. And along the way, I've got married, I have a child, we have a dog, we have a house, the whole bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of our listeners may not really realize what a meteorologist does. I mean, exactly what is a meteorologist?
Well, you know what? Technically, we are a hydrometeorologist, but it's a lot harder to tack on that extra word when you try to say that three times quickly. Basically, we study the atmosphere, and moisture, hydrometeors, which would be raindrops, and moisture are the key factor, and people always want to know, will it be sunny? Will it rain? So we study the atmosphere and produce a forecast. Climatologists study the long range over centuries and thousands of years. Meteorologists deal with the here and now, and we generally look out 5 to 10 days. Sometimes we will look out as far as 2 weeks just to kind of give an idea of what may be lying ahead if there's a weather pattern in particular. But basically, we study the weather, all levels of the atmosphere. We have wonderful equipment. I've got dual pole radar, dual polarization radar, which is incredible. That is the state-of-the-art technology. And we'll put together a forecast. And then I build all my own graphics. Everything is done by me, and then I step into the key and deliver it to the public. So I guess the buck stops with me. If I get the forecast off, then I need to do some explaining. And generally, we get it pretty right because technology is just so incredible nowadays.
So what is the typical education path for a meteorologist?
You need a 4-year degree to start off with. You really should have atmospheric science, meteorology, or a geoscience degree. I have both a biology degree and a geoscience degree with lots of atmospheric science and a whole bunch of graduate studies on top of that, and I'm working toward finalizing my master's degree. But you really need a lot of science. You do need to have your physics and your calculus. You get to do a lot of fun stuff, like learning what that cloud means when you see it, but a lot of it is higher-level science classes because you have to be able to use some of these formulas. You have to be able to look at the air patterns. You have to understand what they mean. So it is a science-heavy background, and then you actually have to enjoy what you do because you have to talk in front of a camera to millions of people or huge crowds of people, thousands of people sometimes at appearances, and you can probably tell I'm not shy. So that's a good thing. I think you really have to enjoy talking to people about this.
That's very interesting. You know, so one of the things that you have is you have a, that you say very few meteorologists hold, and that's the prestigious AMS-CBM. I don't know what AMS stands for. CBM must stand for the Certified Broadcast Meteorology Seal of Approval. What does that exactly mean?
Well, AMS is the American Meteorological Society, and there are 14,000 members, of which 1,000 are broadcast meteorologists. So the rest are in scientific fields, working for NASA and MIT and the government and NOAA and your National Weather Service and just universities. And so it's a huge smattering of very qualified meteorologists. The broadcast division has about 1,000 members. Of those 1,000 members, they upgraded what was once the seal of approval, which says, look, you are competent. You've taken the classes. We have checked your transcripts. You have shown us tapes. We approve that you are on air giving a forecast because you know what you're doing. You know how to explain it, and you understand the forecast. But they went a step above that with the certified because they made us take a whole bunch of tests and resubmit all of our tapes. And so that's the highest level that you can achieve. I also have the National Weather Association seal, which you have to take tests for and submit your tapes for. So it's kind of nice because it is a committee, and I've actually been in charge of the entire board that oversees this process. And it says, look, this person is qualified. So it tells the viewer at home, this person knows what they are doing. You can trust that they are going to give you the very best forecast that you can get.
Interesting. I did not know that. And so from what you're mentioning before, it sounds like a chief meteorologist is kind of like a manager that manages other meteorologists?
Well, yeah, sometimes it can be like that. Usually, and I've been fortunate, I've been the chief meteorologist twice in my career, which is wonderful for a woman. There's not very many of us. And you basically go in and you're kind of responsible. You want to make sure the equipment is running. You want to be up to date on the newest types of equipment and when your equipment needs to be replaced and the best graphics. And you want to make sure that your team is actually putting out great graphics and the presentation is clear and good. You want to make sure that you are covering all your platforms, especially social media nowadays. And you want to make sure that you're really reaching out to your viewers on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and even Pinterest. And then you want to go a step further and you want to make sure that the website is as cutting edge as it can be. So as visually pleasant and informational without being too cluttered, and so that somebody can click on and get what they need right away. So you are managing a lot of things, the schedule, and you want to have a happy team. So that means sometimes if you're the chief meteorologist, you're working on Christmas Day because somebody on your team hasn't had Christmas off in a long time. So, yes, that's what you are doing. But you're also usually the person that is seen at night. Not always. Sometimes they have them in the morning and the weekends, but mainly it's going to be the person that you see Monday through Friday nights.
Oh, I see. You know, I've always wondered about that. You know, someday I'd like to find that information out. You know?
Yeah, no. And you know what? I've mainly worked with men my career. Right now I'm working with men, and all of us have been chief meteorologists at one time or another, which is really nice. So we should all be able to get everything done, and we do very well.
That's very interesting. You know, we just have a quick minute before you go to break, but what have been some of the challenges that you've had to face? Can you mention maybe one of your challenges?
I think the hardest challenge is I love being a mother, so of course I want to be able to spend time with my son. I've brought him in to do forecasts with me and, to make sure that I can balance family and work life, and I found a way to balance that, which is good, so I can contribute 100% to both. It is not easy, though. I think the other challenge is the glass ceiling. It still exists. Only one in every five meteorologists that you see on television is a woman, and very few are chief meteorologists. And, I think that there is a glass ceiling there. It's slowly being eroded away, but it is not an easy thing. You have to prove yourself. You're a female, and you have to say, look, I know as much or more about science than anybody else in this building, but you really need to trust me. I know what I'm doing, and I will do my very best, and we'll get this job done.
Well, yeah. You know, we need to take a step away for a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that and then go into maybe some of your Emmy information. So this is Deanne DeMarco on today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Business businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking to meteorologist Tammy Sousa. And Tammy, you know, just before break, you mentioned that most of the meteorologists are men, and so you really didn't have like a lot of role models that you could follow. Were there some certain challenges with being a woman in the field of meteorology when you were breaking into the field?
You know, when I was breaking into the field, I think the novelty was that a lot of people thought it'd be great if we have a woman, but let's put the little lady on the weekend, or maybe we can just put her in the morning and let her be perky and happy. And I think the challenge was because they remember back to the day of the weather bunny, and nothing against those gals. They had a job and they did their job well, but they some managers have found it hard to actually accept the fact that there are women out there with a master's degree, with two bachelor's degrees that have, you know, covered stories coast to coast that are immersed in the science of weather and can deliver it as well as a man. So there is still a little bit of a stigma, and there is still a little bit of a trust issue. But there are some fantastic female chief meteorologists nationwide. I could go down the list of some of the women who have achieved that. I've been fortunate twice, and my sister has as well. And I think that the challenge has been I had to be mentored by men. So my choice was this is basically something that men are running. I'm going to learn everything I can from them, but I'm going to keep my feminine side. I'm going to keep my personality, my perspective. I'm going to keep my values, and I'm now going to try to bring them to my forecasts, and I think the public will like them. And I think the public responds very nicely to women as well. I think a lot of people like to see a woman's perspective. Women like to see women delivering a forecast at night, because a lot of times I will remember the kids, the pets, the car, hey, ladies, you know, this is a bad hair day, or this is a pretty shoe day, or do not even put those nice heels on this day. And that may sound silly, but when I'm done with the meat and potatoes of a forecast, I will add those extra things. And, you know, I think that there is something that that people are now seeing that, you know, they can pick who they want to get their forecast from. But a lot of times I think that people enjoy a woman. We're good multitaskers. So we could throw a lot of those balls in the air, cover it all in a forecast, and then bring it all back together and finish up. So, you know, I think that more women are getting into the field. When I mentor young women now, I tell them, you know, learn everything you can and do it well. Learn the internet. Learn how to build graphics. Learn all of your social media skills. Make sure that you understand how to put a concise forecast together that has a cool storyline that's fun to watch and that the people will walk away knowing what the forecast is and maybe with a little trivia that they can talk about the next day. And always, always enjoy what you're doing and let them see that you enjoy what you're doing. So if there is still a lot of ground to cover, but I think that we are making baby steps upward, and I'm so thrilled that I am every day getting emails from young women that want to come into this business, and I just tell them, look, have all your ducks in a row, go in there and shine, and you're going to do fine. Just Just have your game plan, have your goals, and do not let anybody beat you down.
Yeah. So it also, now these associations that you belong to, mm-hmm. so someone getting into the field, is that, should they hook up with one of those associations early on?
Absolutely. They have student members in the AMS and the NWA. I go to conferences, 3 or 4 conferences a year with all these associations, and I speak and I present, and it's a wonderful way to make contact. It's a wonderful way to see what your colleagues are doing. It's a wonderful way to interact with your peers, and I think, you know, I was fortunate to be the first female that was chosen to head the broadcast AMS group nationally, and I think it set a precedent because 2 years after that, they chose another female, and I think they appreciate having sometimes a female sensibility, especially organizing things, and I actually was the chairman of 2 of the national conferences as well, and it brings a different perspective. So I tell all these people, join these organizations. You're actually going to get immersed in the science. You're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to hear about job openings. You're going to make friends for life. I mean, I could pick up a phone in almost every city in the country, call a meteorologist I know, and have a great conversation with them today, and that is an important tool to have.
Mm. That's good advice. So I'd like to get to your 15 Emmys. I mean,
Actually, that's gone up, but it's gone up by a couple. But I will tell you this: that's nominations. I only have 6. I have 6 awards now.
Well, but still, you have more than 15 nominations. I mean, so you're doing something that is resonating with whoever they are that makes these nominations.
I have one huge fan that keeps moving around from region to region. With the Emmys, they, you know, you enter what you believe to be your best, most interesting work, and you don't enter just for the sake of entering. You want to enter if you think you have something that's special and unique that shines. And there are different quadrants of the country that will do the nomination process, that will do the judging. And so you never know where it's going. Is it going to the Southeast, the West Coast, the Northeast? Is it going to the Heartland? And you just enter your best work. I think I enter stuff that has a solid forecast. If I've done a special report on something that's really unique and I think would serve a purpose for other people to see it and be talked about. And believe me, people copy people. So I've seen some of my stuff done in other cities because somebody has seen my report. That's flattering, and it's great because you want to get stuff out there. I have a sense of humor, so I've entered some funny things before. And I don't know, maybe I just enjoy myself, and maybe it resonates. And I've entered and not won before. So, you know, it's pick things that are meaningful to you and enter them, and let the chips fall where they may.
It sounds like you do these special reports. So the first question I have, is that typical of a meteorologist to do special reports like this?
You know, meteorologists will usually do some sort of a report on a weather event or something to do with weather. I like to do more than that. I've gone out, I've chased tornadoes nationwide. I've been the first person at several tornadoes. I've covered the wildfires in Southern California where I grew up. My family has lost homes. I mean, I stood on the roof as a kid hosing down the roof, and every year those wildfires come. And so I've been flown in by Fox, and then previous employers dropped into these disaster zones because I like to get out on the ground and ask questions. I have an insatiable curiosity and a determination to bring information to people. I know that might sound cliche, but I do. If it's a story we're telling, I want to tell the story. So I will go out, and I'm a scuba diver. I'm an advanced open water scuba diver. I will go out and do a story on shipwrecks in Lake Michigan, and I'll dive down and do it under the surface with an AGA mask. I have driven NASCAR because I think a lot of ladies want to know, what is it like to jump in a car? So I've gone to the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I sank myself in a car to the bottom of a lake that was locked and filling with water to show people how to get out alive. Now, that was a little nerve-wracking, and my husband and son were there, but I did have emergency divers all around the car, and I knew that if anything went wrong, they would get me out, and I'm a good swimmer. But I think that this is valuable information, and this resonates with people. They see it, and they say, wow, I never thought about that. I've never seen the boats at the bottom of the lake. I would have no idea how to get out of a car if it's sinking. Thank you for giving me that information. And I love doing those stories on the side. I think they're important.
Oh, I think these have been some great stories. I mean, what made you think about looking into that shipwreck in the Chicagoland area and actually diving into? I mean, you actually dove in to take a look at the ship, right?
Yeah, no, I put on my scuba gear. I called around. We set it up. I found an underwater photographer. I found a ship captain that would take me out. I found an expert on the shipwrecks, and out we went, and we shot that. We all dove in with our scuba gear and underwater cameras, and we were under the water probably about 45 minutes. And it was beautiful. The ship was beautiful. And you know what it is, again, I guess my mom and dad always were curious about things. And as kids, they let us know that if there's something that you're interested in, ask about it. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. And I'm clearly not shy. And when I heard about the shipwrecks, I said, I got to go out and do a story on those. I got to see what that's all about. So I actually went out. I went with a dive company, and I dove on one. And when I saw it, I said, I got to tell this story. And the same thing with the car, the sinking car. I said, you know what? There are ways to get out of a car alive. We had just had a slew of people die in car accidents that went into ponds here in Chicago. And I know when I was in Florida, in Tampa, for 2 years running that department down there, that there were people that would go into ponds almost every day and die. And I thought, this is crazy. There are ways to get out. So some ideas strike me, or somebody will tell me a story, and I'll say, that is a great idea. We should tell that story, because if it interests me this much, it's got to interest somebody else. And, everything from climate change to, you know, riding a jetpack over the water here in Chicago. They had this crazy jetpack, and they called and said, do you want to be the first person to ride this thing? And I said, yes. I took my husband down. He did it. I did it. And it was a great little story. And now a bunch of people are doing it. Climbing down, rappelling down the side of a 300-foot skyscraper in Chicago for the Respiratory Health Association. I did that story, and that scared the bejeebers out of me, rappelling down the side of a building. But my grandmother died of emphysema. I said, I will do it, and I will do this story in honor of her and to support this and to make people know that and make them aware of this. So, you know, stuff like that, I think it's great. It's great television. It's great at stories, and it gets people talking.
I think it's just exciting. You did some exciting work. So tell us a little bit about Fox 32.
Oh, you know what? I've been very blessed. I've actually been here twice. I was here, I went to Tampa, and I came back. So I've been able to be a part of this weather department twice and cover all of the shifts, which is a lot of fun. I get to deliver weather morning, night, noon, you know, all different times. And I get to go out and do some of these really great stories. So I work with amazing equipment. That's one of the things, is I've always been able to land in places where I had really interesting people to work with early on, interesting people to learn from, and fantastic equipment. And it's here in Chicago, right down on Michigan Avenue, which is the most amazing place. You know, some cities you're out kind of in the boondocks, which is fine, but here you're right in the heart of everything. And it's exciting. Whenever there's weather, it's, you know, I'll go in, I'll say, we got big weather coming, and my bosses will perk up and they'll say, yeah, okay, tell me about it. What do we need to do? And we just went through some storms, and, you know, they geared up, and we went out and we covered it, and it's exciting. It's great. It's a great place to work for weather. First of all, Chicago is just the most amazing city, and they're very supportive. So, I am enjoying myself considerably. I think I'm very blessed. I will say that. And there's a lot of work to do. I want to see more women in the business. I want to see more kids and girls interested in science. And so I speak to schools all the time to get kids interested in science. I think that is something that they need to do for the future.
So the best way for people to see you, of course, is on Fox News. And then they can also follow you, like, on a blog or on the internet somehow.
Yeah, I'm at Tammy Souza is my handle on Facebook and on Twitter. And on Facebook, I have a private page, and I also have a fan page. And I post everything on both of those equally. It's just the private page filled up, so I can't take any more people there. And also on the Fox Chicago News Facebook page and Twitter, Fox 32 Twitter page. But if you just go to any of those social media sites, at Tammy Souza, I'm there. We do blogs on our website, too, but it's just so much faster to get stuff out on Twitter and on Facebook, especially if it's an amazing picture or if it's a weather warning or a weather alert to keep people safe. That's the best way to do it.
Well, Tammy, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. You've inspired a lot of gals who may be interested in the weather.
Oh, thank you. you. Well, I hope so. I hope that someday I will see half of the weathercasters on television as women and half as men. That would make me very happy.
Well, Tammy, again, thank you very much. We need to take a quick break. This is Deanne DeMarco on today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got another treat for you. We have got Hell's Kitchen winner, Christina McAmir, on the show today, and going to find out where she has been. Let me tell you a little bit about Christina. Christina is a wine and culinary program manager at B. Sellers Winery in Napa. She's a devout food and wine lover. The chef has begun her culinary career with an apprenticeship when world-renowned chef Larry, Forgineau, at American Place and Classics at Forest Park Community College in St. Louis. After graduating from Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York, our chef obtained a position as sous chef at Gordon Ramsay's restaurant in West Hollywood. I think that was after the Hell's Kitchen win. Anyway, I'd like to welcome Christina to Today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. You know, I messed up that chef's name. How do you pronounce it? Chef Larry?
Larry Fortione.
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 Fortione at the American
It's a restaurant. So Larry is the godfather of American cuisine. And while very few people remember him, they do know free-range chicken. And he was actually the first person to coin that phrase and start to use kind of farm-to-table techniques in food. So really, really cool person. Super inspiring.
Well, thank you for clearing that up. Yeah, because I'm something going, I'm going to mess up this guy's name. Oh, terrible. You know, there's just a lot of us that were... saw you on Hell's Kitchen. That was where I first knew of you, and truly celebrated your victory when you won. So, tell us about what you're doing now exactly.
So, Hell's Kitchen for me was a long time ago. Actually, it's almost a decade since that happened. So after that, I worked in a few different restaurants in Los Angeles, one for Mr. Gordon Ramsay. We opened Bouchon in Beverly Hills for Thomas Keller. And after that, it was sort of focusing my life towards wine. So I moved up to Napa Valley. And, of course, here we're not short on any good places to eat. And I've been working for a winery for the past 4 years almost now, and really kind of bridging the gap between what you do in wine country as far as tasting wine and how you can enjoy that with food. And so we just opened our new winery facility in Oakville, which is the heart of Napa Valley, about 4 weeks ago. So it's been pretty exciting and incredibly busy.
So are you a sommelier?
Sommelier. I guess technically you could say yes. So I studied with the Master Court of Sommeliers, which is based out of London, and they have four tiers. I'm sure people have seen the movie Somm. I haven't. Someday it's on my list. When I get a day off, I'm going to watch it. It's going to be great. There's four levels that you could go through. So I'm currently working on level three. I've been working on that for 3 years now, and it's crazy. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of studying, you know, but it's wine, so it's fun.
So what's the typical path for someone who would like to become a sommelier?
The typical path for somebody who wants to be a sommelier, first you have to like wine, and then you have to drink a lot of it, and it's not fun. You're constantly thinking about it, and the level of testing that I'm at, you basically have six wines. You have 4 minutes per wine, so three whites, three reds, and there's about 50 different characteristics that you have to analyze and verbally communicate while, you know, a gaggle of master sommeliers look down on you and intimidate you. And it's, you know, it gets a little crazy. But you do get 1 point for telling the color. So at least I know that I'll have 1 point correct.
You get 1 point for telling the color, huh? Wow.
Yes.
So what is the difference between a sommelier and a wine master? Are they similar?
There's a couple of different programs that people can take in their wine career. So Master of Wine is a completely different program. It's WSET, and I have no idea what that stands for because I've never really done that program. But it's a little bit more focused on kind of viticulture and wine science versus my program, the Master Court, is a little bit more focused on kind of guest service and hospitality and how wine plays an integral role in restaurants.
So really the pairing of wines with food is a huge piece of what you do.
Correct. And I'm not always right with my wine and food pairings. We go with the trial and error method, which means our homework is a lot of fun.
So you get to try a lot of things out. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Exactly. Yes.
That's funny. So what makes a really good sommelier?
Oh, goodness. You know, a really good sommelier, because what they're supposed to do is kind of help introduce you to the world of wine. So wine, I think, for some people can be very, very intimidating. And, you know, there's so many different varietals and there's so many different styles. And so it's really just for them communicating and reading your guest and figuring out what it is that they like, what it is that they want, and then assisting them with pairing that with food. And, you know, if you are a Cabernet drinker, then drink Cabernet. And I don't care what it pairs with. But if you can really kind of introduce somebody to that kind of enlightening, perfect pairing, then that for us is a really good day.
Very interesting. So what have been some of the challenges that you've had to face in your career, and how did you overcome them?
God, challenges in my career. Let's see, I worked in a kitchen, and everything in there is a weapon and can hurt you. No, so I think what's been really interesting in my career, because I've really kind of almost had two, one in the kitchen and one now with wine, is the way that today's culinary and food scene is changing. And that kind of started when I first kind of got into cooking. You know, it was all of this food media has come out, and suddenly people actually care about what they're eating and who's preparing it and how it's done. And that was a big thing for me in the kitchen, was that not only did you have to learn how to cook food, but you also had to then rise to the next level and be able to speak about it and have a personality and connect with guests. And now that I've transitioned into my wine career, I mean, oftentimes when you go wine tasting, it's kind of like speed dating. You drive up to a winery and you elbow your way in, you belly up to a bar, and somebody says something that sounded like Chardonnay, and then they run away. And that's changing just as much as it has in the food industry. Mm-hmm. And people want more. They want a hospitality experience, and they want to be a part of it. So that's been kind of my biggest challenge, is really being on the forefront of these two kind of different simultaneous movements and how we as professionals adjust and create the perfect hospitality experience.
Oh, yeah. You know, we need to take a quick break. We come back and talk a little bit more about this. This is Deanne DeMarco. Today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information, or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics.
The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. We are speaking to Chef Christina McAmire. Christina, just before break, you were talking a little bit more how the whole food and wine industry has probably changed a little bit with the guest experience. What are some of those duties that you have to perform as a sommelier at the wine cellar?
So it's a couple of different things. So I work for a very, very, very small winery, which means we all get to wear multiple hats and do lots of different things. And a lot of times it's fun. So it's designing programs that guests can come and participate in to really experience the wine and the winery. It's working with our amazingly talented chef, Brian Green, about coming up with really kind of fun seasonal food pairings. You know, and then there's the boring part, which is we are dealing with alcohol, which is a controlled substance, you know, so shipping that to certain places can be difficult, and spreadsheets and all that kind of boring stuff that I hate to do. But, you know, it's really multifaceted, and it definitely keeps you on your toes.
Mm-hmm. So some of the programs that you put together, tell us a little bit more about some of those.
Sure. So we have a couple of different experiences here at B-Sellers. We, first of all, it should be said, we don't have a tasting bar. We had a rented facility that we were at for about 3 years, and we realized that the one thing that we really hated was, you know, the guests that stop by. We've only got 20 minutes to interact, and it's not the right experience for us. So we took the tasting bar out, and instead we built a fully functioning demonstration kitchen. So no walls, no doors. When you walk into the winery, you're basically walking into our kitchen, which is really exciting. So we offer our, I don't even know if you could call it a basic tasting because it's so much more, but our introductory experience we call our Oakville Winery Trek. And it's a chance to go on a tour through our estate. We have a huge garden. I've got 6 amazing hens that lay the best eggs I've ever tasted. Caves, our production facility, and then come back for a seated tasting where our chef prepares 3 really great bites to go with the wines. Then we also do another one where we kind of get a little geeky, if I could say that. I kind of like to describe it as getting down and dirty. Napa Valley has 16 different distinct growing regions for wine. And they could be mountain, they could be valley floor, maybe they get a little bit more rain or a little bit more sun. And the wines that come off of those different areas all have unique defining characteristics. So we call this an Appalachian tasting because we get to taste wines from the same vintage, from the same winemaker, the same varietal, but they're just from 4 different areas in Napa Valley. So if you ever wondered why mountain fruit has a little bit more tannins and valley floor fruit has a little bit more fruit, we really kind of taste it and we talk about the soil that they grow in. So that's a lot of fun for me. And then we do one with our reserve wines. It's called a heritage tasting. So most of our reserve wines come from vineyards that were planted back in the 1850s when we first started making wine in Napa Valley. And now they're considered part of Napa's heritage, or if you will, heritage vineyards. So we talk about those unique vineyards and who planted them and who was living there and why that these wines have the kind of delicacy and complexity that they do.
Interesting. So I would think that your background in food has helped you with your current role as well.
You know, definitely, for sure. My palate is very highly developed. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's really a background in everything, in people and dealing with, you know, everything that you do on a daily basis. So it's a lot of fun.
So what advice would you have for women who would like to either be a chef or go into the world of wine?
Go into the world of wine. Don't be a chef. It would be my advice. It's changed a little bit. When I first started, which was almost 20 years ago, it was definitely a man's world. And so that being said, you really have to be tough and confident and on point every single day. And, you know, it's definitely gotten a lot better, but it's not easy. So you have to have, if you want to go into the world of food, you need to have a really strong passion and drive for why you're doing this. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have that, it won't be worth it.
Now, is that in both fields, in the wine field as well as in the chef field?
You know, wine is a little bit easier. I don't cut and burn myself on a daily basis, so that's definitely an improvement. Women already have an advantage in the world of wine because we have a more highly developed palate as well as sense of smell, which comes back from hunter-gatherer days. And so we've already got a leg up in that respect. It's still a lot, a man's world, but it's a little bit easier to bridge into than it is in the food world.
I've got probably a really silly question I'm going to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm sure there's somebody else that's got the same question. With all the wine tasting that you do all day long, how do you not get drunk?
Spitting. We spit a lot. So anytime alcohol enters your mouth, it exits your mouth. You are expected to expectorate. And so practice in the shower. Don't practice with red wine in front of people.
I would probably think that would not be a good idea.
No, definitely not.
So you're not really drinking it. So you're
correct.
It's rolling over your tongue, but then you're spitting it back out.
Correct. Exactly.
I always wondered about that. Interesting. Very interesting. So are there any particular types of schools that person should go to if they want to go into this field, or any certain opportunities that they should be looking for?
You know, there's lots and lots of classes that people can take, especially, you know, out here we've got the Culinary Institute of America, which offers wine classes, and, you know, every city across the country is going to have some kind of class that you could take. Buy a book. There's tastings everywhere. Go to your local wine shop. What was really fun for us would be to have a bunch of people over on a Friday night. Everybody brings a Sauvignon Blanc. We taste them all blind, and we talk about them. You know, they taste different when they come from New Zealand versus the Loire Valley versus right here in Napa. So have fun with it.
Yeah, because so as far as going into this with a profession, just look for those opportunities. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Correct. Yeah, there's wine tastings everywhere. And the more that you can taste and discover your palate, the better suited. You can also go on and sign up. They have an introductory level, which is great class, and you actually learn what the process is of going through the rest of the testing. So that's also an opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about B-Cellars.
Sure. So B-Cellars is a winery that I work for. I started with them about 4 years ago, and we were in the process of developing our estate, which just opened. And they promised me a kitchen, and it's taken 4 years to get one. But it's really kind of a special place because there's nothing like this in Napa Valley right now. From the level of hospitality to the kind of food that's coming out of our kitchen to the wines that we produce, we're really very, very fortunate here. And we're right in the heart of Napa Valley in Oakville.
And so some of the things that you do is with B-Cellars are some of the programs you put together. Tell us more about those.
Sure, absolutely. So we like to think that our wines go well with food. We're known for doing some blended wines, blended varietals. And the thought process behind that is by blending different varietals, we create some complexity and some layers of flavor that you're not going to get with just a mono varietal like a Pinot Noir. So that being said, we like to show guests the versatility and how fun that is to pair with food. So it's not lunch. It's three kind of little bites just to tease your palate so that you enjoy it. You get a recipe, you take some wine, and you go home and recreate this for your guests.
Interesting. So you blend certain wines together to come up with a new genre of wine?
It's not necessarily a new genre. I mean, it's blending varietals together has been going on for thousands of years in Bordeaux and in Champagne and down the street with my friends at Opus One. But what it is you're looking to sort of like a symphony. You're looking to hit different notes within the wine. And so our best-selling wine we call Blend 24. 24, why? Not because it's named for my age, I really wish, but that's the sugar ripeness of the grapes at the time of harvest, and it's a super Tuscan. So you take a little over half Cabernet, and that gives you some structure and some tannin and some backbone. And then we blend it in Sangiovese, the famous Tuscan grape that makes Chianti, and it adds this kind of strawberry ripeness, and then balance it out with a little bit of Syrah, so you get like a black pepper smoky finish. And so it's just kind of like, instead of having carrot soup, you have carrot ginger. It gives you these different kind of complex notes that make it just a little bit more interesting on your palate.
Very, I had never heard of blended wines before. How interesting is that? Well, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was really a joy to learn about the world of wines and what you've been up to ever since Hell's Kitchen, because a lot of us have been wondering. Well, again,
yes,
thank
I've
you.
Been busy.
You have. Again, thank you very much.
Every
week I end with a quote in action, and a lot of you have been emailing me wanting to know how can you get these quotes in actions on a more regular basis. Just check on the website, and there's a link there for you to get the quotes in actions. And the quote that I would like to end with today is actually from Reverend Jesse Jackson, and he says, "Both tears and sweat are salty, but they render different results. Tears will get you sympathy. Sweat will get you change." So your action for this week is to renew your commitment to make something happen in your life. Until next time, this is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.